Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, good Saturday afternoon. This is not your host, Gary Wellings. And this is your co-host, Pastor Rick Dietering. Ted Bondarenka, I just want to let you know, there's been a little bit of shake-up here at the Wham House.
Yeah. Everyone's resigning.
Yeah, no. No one's resigning.
No one.
I think Gary's calling in right now, and he's on vacation still, and so good
must
for him.
Must be nice.
It must be. It is nice, actually. I've been on vacation for a couple weeks now.
I heard rumors about vacations that they're wonderful. One of these days, I'm going to have to try it once.
Got to work first to take a vacation.
See, therein lies the problem.
It's a drawback, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the deal breaker right there. Yeah, I got to go to work. Forget it. I'm going to just keep doing what I've been doing.
Permanent vacation. There you go. So we can talk about vacations in a little bit when Gary comes on. Right now we want to talk about boating. Actually, that's what I've been doing on my vacation. Not so much boating as working on my boat. And if you're working on your boat, you need to get work done on your boat, you need to rent a boat. You need to do anything with a boat. You need to go to Claves Marina. Claves Marina, 734-426-4532 at 8789 McGregor Road in Pinckney. They can help you out with maintenance on your boat. They can help you out with buying your boat. They can take trade-ins. They can rent you a pontoon boat.
Yep.
You bought your pontoon boat there, did you?
I've rented pontoons from them. Yes, I've rented pontoons. They're wonderful, and they're great boats, and you get out right out on the lake. And the wonderful thing about rental is you don't have to worry about the upkeep and taking your whole vacation, maintaining your boat. Yeah. They do it for you when you rent it. You know, rental is a wonderful way to go.
Yep. So once again, that's 734-426-4532, Claves Marina, or www.claves, K-L-A-V-E-S, marina.com, C-O-M. So I always like to spell that out.
Why, you don't give our listeners enough credit to being able to know how to spell calm?
Whenever I spell, my email address is my firstname@lastname.com. And when you spell my last name, you're just in the habit of spelling it. You end up spelling out the dot com, too.
Yeah, why didn't you go ad.com? You know? It's been a lot easier.
Alrighty. So, having said that, yeah, actually, I'm repairing my boat right now, and I hope to have it on the water tonight. We repainted it. We're restoring it. It's a classic boat.
Do you fish?
Not really. Not as much as my wife would like us to.
Do you fish off the boat? I'm working go up an invitation
yes.
here
oh,
to
yes.
go out with you sometime.
You are welcome aboard, sir. You are welcome aboard. We will do that. You live near the area. We'll go out on Belleville Lake.
That's the closest I can get to having a vacation unless I get a job. I have three very full-time jobs that have a pastor.
Yep. You never get a vacation from
You never
being
get a
pastor.
Vacation from that.
Yep.
No.
So I wonder if we have any. Oh, we have two calls.
Yeah.
We have, surprises of surprises. We have Joe from Wyandotte. But we're going to take Gary Wellings first. He has preeminence.
That's just Gary.
Derek? Like Gary on?
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
Hey. Good, Rick. Good, Ed. Thanks for filling in for me today. Much appreciated.
Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, you called us, so let's talk.
It's called talk radio, not
Yeah, no, it's I'm living my dream, right? If you don't have a dream, what else are you doing with it? So I'm down relaxing poolside and trying to figure out a way to not come back. I'm not sure I figure that one out, but I'm thinking about it.
Well, yeah.
Hey, with the advent of cell phones, hey, you can call in every Saturday and run your show from run your show from poolside. Call the show, change it from The Drift to Poolside with Gary.
That's right. I could drift on the pool while I'm talking on the radio. That would be perfect. But so you guys got a lot to talk about today, and I'm not going to keep you real long because I want you to get into the Scaramucci, the Reince Priebus, and all I want to say about Reince.
Oh no, I didn't pick any of those topics. Oh no.
Oh my gosh, I would hope that you had. But you know, I think some of us have said from the beginning that he was just picked by Trump because Trump's a magnanimous guy, and he wanted to try and work with the GOP establishment. Mm-hmm. And obviously the GOP establishment doesn't want to work with President Trump. And shame on them for it. And so I'm hoping that in the 2018 election, people will remember those Republicans who have failed to work with the Trump agenda that we, the American people, voted for.
Gary,
right? I mean, it's that simple. We voted Trump in to fulfill an agenda, and the GOP establishment is failing miserably at handling that.
Gary, do you think that McCain will actually run again? Ever?
And when?
I can only pray that he does not. I wish no ill on anybody, but I hope he does not run again for any number of reasons would be fine with me. Just don't run, Mr. McCain. Benedict McCain does not belong in the house of power of the Senate. He really doesn't. He's a disgrace.
We're going to get into that later. Yeah.
You know, I want to say this, and I say this as a pastor. Anytime anybody but now brings up McCain, they have to say, well, I don't wish him any ill. No one ever wishes the man pain and suffering and stuff like that. But we're talking about a man in office that we don't want in office. So, I mean, we don't have to sit there and wish for his death to say we don't want him reelected. We don't wish for his death. Yeah. We don't wish for his pain. We do wish that he was not in office.
Yeah, simple enough, yeah, no matter what the reason.
That's
for his own best reasons.
You know, and if you notice on top of the Daily Drift today, which is Ed.
Yeah.
The news you need to know. You missed it. See, I'm trying to help you out, man, even from a distance, right? But
can we do it over?
The Daily Drift. You'll see at the top of the Daily Drift, we have what's near and dear to my heart that we've been talking about a long time. Kid Rock is leading in the polls for Senate, even though he has not filed yet. He may not file.
He may not. That's absolutely right. He may not. Yep.
I don't think he will, but that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You're still thinking not? I don't know. I think he's kind of weighing it and seeing how many people will actually run, you know, or will support him. And I'm seeing on Twitter, he's got a lot of support. So who knows?
I want a Republican in there. That's what I want. I want a Republican in there. I want the best Republican in there that can win, almost like a Reagan-like approach, right? Let's get the best Republican, best conservatives that can get.
I was going to say that. The best Republican doesn't always mean the best conservative.
Yeah, I know.
The Republican Party is really, we've learned, is not a conservative party.
When people say Republican in name only or Rhino
exactly
anymore.
Right. You know, I know everyone likes Bob Young. I like Bob Young, too, but if you can't win and beat Debbie Stabenow, it doesn't matter how good you are or how conservative you are.
So
need to put somebody in there who's conservative but is capable of waging a campaign that will put them into office.
I was just talking to Linda about this. The Detroit station, urban station.
That other station
that is not conservative at all, is ultra liberal, but urban talk show. A lot of the callers are calling in stating that because Bob Young is from Detroit and he knows Detroit, I'll sit there and say maybe the fact that he's a black man might have some bearing on their opinion too, because they're saying that because he's black, I'm going to vote for him. It looks like he could do a lot of strong pulling in Detroit. And then you have everyone else that's not going to vote based on race, but on policy, will vote for him too. So I actually think that Bob Young has an excellent chance of being stabbed.
I think he's got a better than 50-50 chance if he runs.
That's all you need in politics, better than 50-50.
He needs to do more than what he's doing right now, because you know what? I am not seeing him out there enough. You have to be bold, brash, and vocal, and I'm not seeing it on Facebook. And that's what you have to be on. You have to be out there being loud and dare say slightly controversial.
We're still early, but Bob does know how to run a statewide campaign. He's done it for himself, and he's done it for a number of other justices that ran. Difference is when you're running in justice, the biggest thing first is just winning in your primary or winning in your caucuses. And
The thing is, if he's going to primary against Kid Rock, if he's going to primary against Lena, or if John James comes aboard,
we need to stop mentioning her name. Because
yes, I realize that, but nonetheless, she's out there, and Bob isn't. And I intend to ask him about that. Where's your presence? Where's your social media presence? Why aren't you on Fox? It's a Detroit station. Come on, you can get in there, do something. So
it's really what it takes. I mean, you have to get out and put your face out there and do whatever it takes to do that. If that means being controversial or whatever, get out there and do it. Because, you know, right now he is without a doubt the number one qualified candidate for it, because A, he's filed, and B, he has a stellar resume. I love Bob, so I'm not knocking Bob at all when you hear me promote Kid Rock at all. Bob is the most qualified who is currently filed, and he has my full support, you know, until such time as a Kid Rock decides that he's serious and wants to get in which case I would probably go for him because I think that's the sure bet to beat Debbie Stabenow.
I can see Joe right now chomping at the bit waiting to get in on this discussion. Let's bring Joe in, too. Joe, you there?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So go ahead, quick.
Hey.
All right, well, take care. We'll see you.
Oh, okay. See you, Gary. I thought you'd stay on. Okay. Have a nice time.
No, I might call back, but I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take
care. All right. He's got to jump into this pool.
Yeah, cool off after that.
Yeah, cool off the conversation.
Joe.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Perfect to follow Gary on this. I hope you will indulge me. I've got 3 points regarding the Senate race.
Make them quick. We got a break coming up.
Hopefully you can hold me over. There's no time to be able to get in the three. The first one being Kid not likely to run. In his latest press release, he says, during this time while exploring my candidacy for U.S. Senate, I am creating a 501c4, a nonprofit organization for promotion of voter registration. Not only can I raise money for this critical cause, but I can help get people registered to vote at my shows. So I see him as going to play a big part in the race and can lend anti-Stabenow rhetoric to it and eventually support our nominee, but I don't think he'll run. But
how does that affect the 15-day window?
I think that has everything to do with the 15-day window and why he's, I think, with that press release, trying to let people down gently before he says, I'm sorry, I'm not actually running, but I will do this and we'll be involved.
But the fact that he's
the best of all worlds, because frankly, my second point is the nightmare scenario, whereas whether Kid Rock runs or not, just potentially, if he did, with John James and Robert Young all splitting the vote and giving us Lena, who is all hype and zero substance, whereas like Gary was talking about, Bob needs a little more hype to him, and I agree with that.
Now, I want to verify before my next statement. When you talk about the 15-day window, you're talking about after you make a public announcement that you're going to run, you have 15 days in which to get the paperwork filed, correct? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I was talking about.
Okay. Yeah. So with that in mind, what he's saying, no, it doesn't matter. Because here's the thing. At this point, what he's saying by that statement is he has not officially thrown his hat into the window yet.
Right.
So the 15-day window hasn't even started.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. But then he was earlier saying, I have 15 days. So the question is, did he start the 15 days when he had the 15?
No.
When he said he had the 15 days?
Actually, it's not until you actually make a firm announcement that I am running, and right now it's still up in the air.
All right, great. Let's do points 2 and 3 after the break, Joe.
The website saying that he was running as a firm announcement. So I think the clock did start. It may be up to lawyers to determine that and campaign finance law, but the third point being Wayne County, like Rich was touching on. We don't have to win Wayne County. People need to understand, in order to win statewide races, we can't write off and throw away Wayne County. Trump didn't win Michigan by a whole lot, but he got 30% in Wayne County, and that shifted it. That lifted all the other boats across the state. We must win Wayne County by around just 30%. We can't write it off. And if Bob Young can get extra votes out of Detroit, can carry Wayne County with 30%, we have the Senate seat with a constitutionalist, conservative black Republican.
You don't have to sell me on it, Joe.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for that, Joe. Appreciate it.
I'm amazed we did actually get it in. Thanks.
You got all two of the three in. What was the second one? What was the second one?
Yeah, really. Well, quick, rehearse the second.
The second was the nightmare scenario of whether Richie's in or not, John James and Robert Young splitting the vote.
Oh, yeah.
And giving
us Lena
as the all-hype, no-substance candidate who would then probably lose to Stabenow.
Now, I heard John James, someone mentioned that he's actually a Democrat. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't think so. I believe in him. I like him. And as I've said on previous shows, if I were forced to choose the outsider candidate of either James or Epstein, I'd go with John James.
Given his testimony,
his war background, we've had luck with Bergman in the first congressional district in Michigan. He can campaign side by side with him. It's worked well with Joni Ernst and Tom Cotton in the Senate, so we have a good track record of helping to get veterans. He claims to be a solid conservative.
I think it's important.
I believe him at this point until I see anything to make me suspect otherwise. So I wholeheartedly support him, too.
Joe, we need a veteran's preference in hiring senators. They need to get a, 10%. You usually get 10% discount, right? Mm-hmm. They need to get a 10%, not discount, but increase in the vote. They get a free 10% in the election. Veterans get a free 10% in any vote. All right, Joe. Good talking to you.
Boy, that was a real stretch there.
10% are the Democrats through voter fraud.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine whose father was a staunch Democrat in Chicago. And he talked about the old days where the union would stand outside and give everyone who come in to vote a dollar or a pint. vote, as long as they'd vote for Democrat. I just, we shouldn't be talking about buying votes. That's the Democrats' job. We don't do that.
That's right.
Not even with 10%.
All right. Talk to you later, Joe.
He's gone.
Derek, do we have a break? Okay.
We can if we need one.
I assumed we had one. I didn't hear any music. There it is.
Families hit by drug addiction already know how difficult this problem is to solve. In many cases, addicts have tried multiple 28-day or 12-step programs that did not work. Narcanon Freedom Center believes that addiction is neither inherited nor an incurable disease that requires indefinite treatment or medication for the rest of a person's life. Narcanon Freedom Center's drug addiction program consists of unique techniques to assist addicts to overcome drug and alcohol dependencies and the damaging effects to an addict's life. This is done naturally, and there is no substitution drug to handle one drug addiction by inheriting another. Narcanon Freedom Center's goal is for each individual to achieve and maintain long-term success. Any family member or loved one of an addict, please do not hesitate to call Narcanon Freedom Center at 517-629-6749 and reach out for help. That's 517-629-6749. We are in this battle together, and as a team, we can fix the problem of addiction.
Warning, are you a man over the age of 40 with more than a handful of belly fat to lose? Then what you will hear next can save or even extend your life. Scientists have found that aging men with over 10 pounds of belly fat have double the risk of premature death. Fortunately, our research team of nutrition experts have created TestMax Nutrition, a male hormone-based eating guide designed exclusively for men over the age of 40 to eliminate dangerous belly fat and its fatal effects by increasing a man's master fat-burning hormone, testosterone. For a limited time, TestMax Nutrition is available at an incredible 80% discount. To claim your 80% discount, call 1-800-NIXLOW-T or go to StopLowTest.com. TestMax Nutrition is regularly $97, but today, you'll get this first-ever test-boosting eating plan for just $19.95. Just call 1-800-NIXLOW-T or go to StopLowTest.com. That's 1-800-NIXLOWT or go to StopLowTest.com now to claim your discount.
It's finally here. The atmosphere you've been looking for to relax and celebrate with family and friends and meet new friends too. It's Wines on Main in downtown Chelsea, right next door to the Mule Skinner Boot Shop. Select wine from their hand-picked wine list, showcasing boutique wines made at small family vineyards from all over the world. Enjoy a wine tasting at their welcoming wine bar, then take home a selection of wine and accessories for gifts and upcoming events throughout the season. Shop for artwork from local artisans, paintings, pottery, glassware, paper crafts, and metal art. Get that special woman in your life a wine clutch and handmade bottle stopper, or a wooden bar set and deck of vintage playing cards for that guy you adore. If you can't decide, how about a gift certificate for the perfect choice? Join their Wines on Main Wine Club to get VIP specials and invites to upcoming events. It's new. It's what you've been looking for. The new wine bar and gift shop, Wines on Main, right next door to the Mule Skinner Boot Shop in beautiful downtown Chelsea. See you soon. Cheers.
Welcome back to The Drift. Today, Gary couldn't make it. As you may have heard earlier, he's on vacation, enjoying himself. And so we invite you to enjoy yourself, Pastor Rick and myself, co-hosting. And Dirk, I think we have time to play track one right now. Would you do that, please?
Anthony Scaramucci, the New Yorker, has not been kind to President Trump. So for Anthony Scaramucci to call up Ryan Lizza, who writes for the New Yorker, Ellen, that was kind of a strange call, wasn't it?
Not so much, because don't forget Scaramucci is from New York and the New Yorker is a New York magazine. So I'm sure he believes that because he was from New York and this was a New York magazine, it was okay to call. He doesn't understand the culture of Washington.
Chris, what do you think about it?
Well, Ryan Lizza, I believe, actually just said this morning that he and Scaramucci have historically had a decent relationship. So, you know, the idea that he would call up somebody who perhaps is familiar and I guess we want to use the verb discuss such things, although when you're using profanity-laced tirades, I don't think it's quite as conversational as normal human communication. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to something like this, I mean, look, this is really Anthony Scaramucci's M.O. from day one so far. He's been talking about how he wants to put the clamps down on the leaks, and when he goes to such extreme extents to describe what he has in mind right now, we kind of see the result of the coverage today.
I promised our viewers that I would explain what prompted this conversation, and it was the fact that somebody inside the White House had leaked the dinner guest list for that night. The president and the first lady were going to be dining with Sean Hannity from Fox News and a former Fox executive as well.
Great. Derek, would you also play track two then? Thanks.
President Trump is furious at reports that Fox News host Kimberly Guilfoyle is gunning for White House spokesman Sean Spicer's job, telling aides that his press secretary is a vital part of his operation, according to insiders. Knowledgeable sources tell the Washington Examiner that Trump was angered when Guilfoyle went to the press to announce that she was talking to Trump aides about the job. In what was viewed as a diss by Team Trump, Guilfoyle told the San Jose Mercury News, "Sean Spicer is a very nice man and a patriot. He's dedicated himself to this public service. I wish him the best, and I know he puts a lot of effort into it." But then she reached for his job. "I think it would be a fantastic job. It's a challenging job, and you need someone really determined and focused, a great communicator in there with deep knowledge to be able to handle that position." That statement from Guilfoyle did not go down well in the Oval Office. Trump gets very angry every time he sees those stories. He believes Guilfoyle is using him to better her own situation. One insider told the Washington Examiner, "He's furious."
Thank you. I read a report this morning. It says here, in a report from the New York Times, a source revealed that the five co-host Kimberly Guilfoyle told President Donald Trump that Priebus was the source of the leaks from his administration, supposedly about that dinner arrangement with the Fox staff, including Hannity. Mm-hmm. And she reportedly told him during a dinner meeting Wednesday that it was Priebus who leaked so many things to the press. It really surprises me about Guilfoyle. I don't know.
Well, we have to first keep one thing in mind. The White House we're looking at now, and I'd love to hear from the callers on this. Mm-hmm. The White House we're experiencing now is not the typical political White House of politicians and presidents past. We have a different type of president in there that's not all about politics, but we also have a lot of people involved that are all about politics. And you're trying to get these two different cultures to come together. And it's causing some clashes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's causing a lot of turmoil. What would normally be politically okay to sit there and say the president's having a dinner and who's there, all of a sudden becomes a leak and, well, this is my private business. Well, he's the president. He's got to get over it.
It just amazes me that Scaramucci gets so incensed about a leak of, oh, my goodness, we'll carry this over later. But that Scaramucci gets so incensed over dinner arrangements.
Scaramucci's handling of everything, I think, needs to be discussed.
We are going to talk about that.
P.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly's got a new job in the Trump White House, Chief of Staff. He starts Monday following the resignation of Reince Priebus.
Priebus was as gracious as anybody could be. Under the circumstances, here he is talking to Sean Hannity.
I'm feeling good about the fact that he's making a change that makes him comfortable with moving forward.
There are many people who believe that all of the White House infighting and tumult we've seen this week have nothing to do with staff infighting, but have to do with one man, the President of the United States.
Fox's Doug McElway. Next month's solar eclipse is already good news for businesses in its path.
Greenville, Kentucky officials are preparing for an increase of people coming to the city to watch the solar eclipse on August 21st. The county has 300 hotel rooms, and tourism officials say almost all of them are booked. Some cities are holding viewing parties.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
In April of 2009, the Rattle With Us Tea Party was formed in an effort to take a stand for fiscal responsibility, limited government, and free markets. We firmly believe that our venom is our vote. Visit rattlewithus.com for details on monthly meetings and events.
Well, welcome back to The Drift. I tell you, it's just a thrill to have the Peter Gunn theme music lead into a segment to me. Ever since I was a kid, I've enjoyed that tune. So, welcome back. Gary's not here today. He's on vacation still. And Pastor Rick is helping me out here as Ayed Bondarenka, and he co-host. That came out clumsily, but
Hey, you got it out.
There we go. There we go. I'd like to talk to you about Dalton's right now, Dalton's Cleaning. Dalton's Industrial Environmental Cleaning. If you need any ductwork cleaned, these are the people you want to see. You want to talk to Dalton's. 1-877-DALTONS or DaltonEnvironmentalCleaning.com. And you can find their address on, you know, their this information on the Daily Drift as an advertisement. I've used, as Gary has pointed out before, I've used Dalton's before, cleaned out some ductwork in some offices I managed. And professional, cleaned up after themselves, got all the garbage out that was floating down on everybody's desk every time the air conditioning turned on. They're people that you want to use. Once again, that's 877-DALTONS or 325-8667.
Got all that. Hey, during break, did you get a chance to sample some of that great food and stuff?
Yes.
Trudy, who's a great, great supporter of this station.
Yep, thank you.
She loves this. She brought in this great layout, cheeses and vegetables in crackers. I can't eat the crackers because, well, I'm back on my diet. And my wife's in building.
She's here, yeah.
And she'd be seeing me sneak into that. But, hey, Trudy, thanks so much for that wonderful, wonderful treat. We really appreciate it. Also, tomorrow.
Yep.
I want to say this. Tomorrow, 9:30-ish, 9:30, 10. Start watching at 9:30 just in case. Theron's going to be back on tomorrow on Let It Rip.
Yep.
He's always, I always feel bad when I first see it because they have this great big huge panel. They're all liberals, and then there's Theron. They put him kind of like in the end or something, you know, and obscured. And
yet, I feel so sorry for the liberals.
Yeah. And then when the thing starts unfolding, you understand that they didn't bring enough power because Theron just rips them to shred, figuratively.
Not a fair fight at all.
Not a fair fight. No, he really goes in there. Well, that's what happens when you go in and you debate using logic and knowledge compared to the liberals who are debating based on emotion and whining.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you got logic and knowledge versus whining and emotion, logic's going to win out.
Yep. Particularly the debate forum. Yep.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if nothing else, watch it so you can argue your views also.
Yes, it helps you develop your own arguments.
Right.
Yep, it doesn't hurt to copy other people's arguments in your own arguments as long as you research them and can, you know, they're just not your talking points. You got to know what's going on.
You know, when someone comes at me with a counterpoint or the counter position that I have, the first thing I always ask them is, why do you feel that way?
Yep.
Well, just because isn't an answer. Why do you feel that way about that point? And what you find with liberals is they'll either shoot to an emotional cause, and I'll say, well, what does that really have to do with the argument? You know, sure, you know, you can talk about all the emotional stuff, so I can give you emotional cries for the conservative side. Why, logically, do you feel that way? And they can't ever come up with a real logical.
And, you know, that's kind of a micro of the macro originalism versus living document debate.
Yeah, and Theron is really great at laying out the arguments, giving his views, and explaining why he feels that way. And in the end, yeah, you start feeling really sorry for the liberals there because they were they lack the ammunition, you know.
Now it's interesting. Everybody has an opinion. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. Theron has an opinion. Those liberals have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Right? Talk radio is all about opinion,
right.
Or be just. Good evening in tonight's news. And that would be it.
I would listen to that show, all right? I would listen to that show because you sounded a little bit like Alfred Hitchcock there.
Oh,
good evening.
Goodness. So, you know, even on our side, even on the conservative side right now, there's a lot of discussion about some of the stuff that's going on and some debate and a lot of emotion, a lot of feelings about what's going on with Trump and Scaramucci and Priebus.
And that's the thing. A lot of people are so solid. I'm pro-Trump, so everything that happens in Washington is right. Well, you have to be able to sit there and say, why do you have that opinion?
Yeah.
What's your view on that? My view right now is Scaramucci. We were talking about him before, and I said we'd have to get back to this, and you promised me we would. Scaramucci, I think, you know, it was an exciting new announcement that he was coming in, but I think he's really doing a lot of overreach.
Yes, exactly.
Within his powers. And,
you know, and Trump is not God. Trump is going to make mistakes. You know, you could say that if he had to fire Priebus, a lot of people say that was a mistake to have Priebus. I don't know if it was. I think Priebus was the man at the time. I don't know that, You know, a lot of people consider Priebus this elite, this sellout. He was a traitor in the camp. And no. Priebus just was a – I think – I know a guy who knows Priebus, and he speaks highly of him. And Priebus just wasn't suited for the environment he was in as White House Chief of Staff.
I said this at Linda's show, and then Joe kind of hit on it a little bit too. I think that Rance Priebus was the choice to come in as a peace deal,
yes,
between Trump and the mainstream Republicans, the Republican elite, saying, okay, I will bring in one of yours, and not just as a little person in the corner. I'll bring him in as my chief of staff with the hope that with Rance Priebus there, that Rance would be able to do something to get the Republican elite on board with
as
some of these plans.
As a representative, so to speak?
Yeah, and be kind of like the bridge builder between the elite Republicans and this non-politician president. And he figured, okay, Rance would know how to talk to them, get things done. And this last debacle with the health care showed that Rance really had no conversation at all with people like McCain.
Well, I don't think you could do anything with McCain, to be honest with you. I feel sorry that if health care is being held against Priebus right now, there was no way. You can't do Collins.
No,
you can't do
Mikulski. I'm just saying that the reason that Priebus was brought in wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So if it's not going to work, okay, let's get me somebody in here in chief of staff who I would have actually picked without worrying about building this bridge with the elites. And he did, Kelly.
Yeah.
And the liberals are going nuts over Kelly because, well, they call him an extremist. You know, he's to the right. He's a very strong conservative, which is fantastic. We all knew when Trump was going in that Trump was not what you'd call the ideal conservative. Mm-hmm. Especially, he was, if nothing else, he was a New York Republican. All right.
Yeah,
and
is,
we all know what that means.
A moderate Democrat.
So the fact that he's bringing in some strong conservatives is saying that he's taken his conservative base serious and know that we as a conservative base put him into office. So he's bringing in some conservatives now. He says, we tried it with the mainstream Republicans. It didn't work. So now I'm going to just load up with the conservatives, which the mainstream Republicans, the Republican elites, absolutely hate.
Well, my take, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I believe that. But my take is that Rance Priebus came in. I think Rance Priebus is a decent guy. I think he was backing the Trump agenda. I don't think he was undercutting the Trump agenda. But I don't think that he had the forceful personality to be able to dominate the way Trump would want him to. Pretty much Trump's criticism of Jeff Sessions at the moment. You know, that he's not willing to step out beyond his comfort zone. You know, you take like Sessions. Sessions is doing stuff in the background. He's doing a marvelous job on a number of things, but he wasn't strong enough on this issue of the Russians and the...
And I'm going to stand totally on board with Sessions here, and I'm going to say this is where I, like Linda before said, this is something that she thinks Trump is wrong on this. Sessions is a staunch supporter of Trump, has been, and even is now, even with everything going on.
He's getting a lot done, yeah.
He's getting a lot done.
Points here, yeah.
But with his position, and he talked to people around, and with his position as the Attorney General, he really had no choice but to back down, because if you remember at that time, they were saying, oh, he was meeting with this Russian ambassador and everything else. And hey, if I cannot handle this, and if I'm not totally above reproach on this argument, and people think that I have some other agenda to hide the fact that I met with this Russian ambassador, which he did. He was a senator. He met with dignitaries. But to sit there and remove any doubt of any favoritism, he says, fine, I will recuse myself from that. I think he did the absolute right thing.
Well, actually, there's a CFR that says he did the right thing. I read the CFR, CFR 24 something or other. I put it on my blog recently. And if these are the exact circumstances, he had to recuse himself. He's not serving under a Democratic president, so he doesn't get the free pass that Democratic appointees get.
Right?
So he has to, you know, Sessions is a follow the rules, follow the law kind of guy. He's a righteous attorney general. Those were the rules. He's got to do it. Trump wasn't happy that he did that because Trump is willing to wink, wink, nod, nod.
All
but right. He didn't give him the pass.
And now, look, Kelly is coming on. He's the new chief of staff. And what's the first thing he says, and I think this should have been done right from the beginning, yes, we know Russia was involved with some tampering and trying to direct the flow of our election. Guess what? They always have. And this is what nobody's pointing out. This is something that they have always done since the time of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, yep.
All right.
Well, back to Reince and Kelly.
Right.
And, you know, the comparison between the two. I don't think Reince had the forceful personality enough to be able to work with under Trump and actually rein in the stuff that was going on in the White House. And I think Kelly does. And I'm really curious to see. Now, Scaramucci is a guy who said, hey, I'm going to report right to the president, right? Which is not the way it normally works.
Normally you go through the chief of staff.
Exactly. And so that right there undercut Priebus tremendously. Now the question is, will he report or will he go through General Kelly? And what will General Kelly put up with? And we don't know the answer to that
yet. But I will say this, and Reince Priebus did a good job running the RNC. And maybe he needs to go back and get involved with the RNC.
He contributed mightily to getting Trump elected.
He did. I just don't think he had the right chops to do the job as the chief of staff.
Okay, we got a call. We got to take this call. Give me a second here. Hello. Welcome to the Drift.
Man, oh man, how long do you guys keep people on hold around here?
I keep watching somewhere other than the screen. Derek finally waved me. You got a call.
Oh, you're funny. Hey, listen, a couple things. First of all, I gave you guys the wrong time for Let It Rip. It is tomorrow morning between 9 and 10.
That's 9:30 between 9 and
10. If you tune in at 10, it's over. So between 9 and 10. I think it's the 9:30 segment, but start watching at 9. Second of all, I want to make a prediction for Saturday Night Live. I think they're going to tap Joey from Friends to be Anthony Scaramucci. So picture that. You got to add a ring to his finger and slick his hair back a little bit, but I think he'll be the perfect Scaramucci for Saturday Night Live.
Forget about it.
How you doing?
That's right. I'm going to fire some people. I fired somebody just a minute ago. I'm going to fire three people in the next half hour.
Yeah. I'm going to hire someone just so I can fire them.
I want to also give a theory that I think this Sessions thing could be a ruse. I'm thinking that maybe, because now you hear all the Democrats saying they're almost daring Trump to touch Sessions. Like, don't even touch him. He's, you know, we love him. He's great. So if he builds up Sessions' reputation enough with everybody, and then down the road Sessions has to get rid of Mueller, how are the Democrats going to suddenly come out and turn on Sessions after they've been totally defending him through all this? So this is another one of Linda's crazy predictions.
That's one of the better ones.
Better predictions you've ever had. Yeah.
No, I mean, I've heard. I mean, I was writing about this recently, and I got a number of opinions. You know, everybody has opinions like we're talking about. But, you know, nobody seems to have a real idea of what the thinking is behind Trump on criticizing Sessions without firing him. You don't want to drive him away. Actually, one thing I did notice that Sessions is getting a lot of kudos for the things he is doing. And yet, as I look at that, I think of somebody who's an employee who's doing everything they think they should do as opposed to what the boss thinks they should do.
Well, you see, now you're looking at that whole relationship as a corporate relationship, as Trump might, because he's corporate. Mm-hmm. But the AG has got his own set of you have to remember, he had to get approved by the Senate to become AG. He had to go through that whole process. And he has to do things that are statutorily assigned to him. And I think he's doing that job better than any AG has done in the last dozen years.
He's not running guns to Mexico. I mean, that's a big step up right there. He's not meeting Hillary Clinton on an airplane on a tarmac somewhere. You know, I mean, the guy's a righteous dude. The thing is,
and keep in mind too that Trump was very confusing in the beginning about the Clinton investigation because he kept saying crazy things like, "Well, they're a nice family. We don't want to hurt them." So I don't think Sessions got any indication that Trump wanted him to go after
mixed
Hillary.
Signals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think one thing I imagined about this was that in the background, Sessions and Trump are saying, hey, look, I'm going to come after you. You're going to take it. And people are going to choose sides. And let's see whose side they choose. And let's see what leaks come out. And then we're going to come out on a podium and we're going to have our arms around each other. But we're going to expose the people that popped up their heads thinking there was a rift between us.
Yeah.
I can't think of exactly what that is, but that's my best guess.
I'm going to go this far, and I said this during the American Dream, is the White House is losing, and the Senate is losing, Congress is losing a great advantage right now with all this turmoil, that they could be getting things done because everyone is looking over at the stuff going on in the White House. The Senate could be doing tons of things right now.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out who's online too right now. It might be Theron. I certainly don't want to ignore him.
Yeah. Have a good show, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Linda.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so we got Tom from Detroit. Not exactly Theron, but hi, Tom. How you doing?
They both start with T.
I just can't complain. Hey, Jeff Sessions has got to go. I mean, 2 days before Trump mentioned about him, that he shouldn't have recused himself, he went out in front, right on the air, and said that he wanted to step up the civil assets forfeiture. And, I mean, that's totally using the Fourth Amendment as a doormat.
I fully agree about the forfeiture. I'm totally opposed to that. I think it's unconstitutional. I think it's a real disappointment. But I'm not sure I would fire him over that since basically he's got a majority of Congress behind him.
Here's the problem with this is right now his job is not to necessarily make the law, but it is to define it, and the forfeiture law is there right now. And as he said on a number of different things, if you don't like the law on the book that I've got to sit there and protect and argue, that have Congress change the law. So
that's
if you
not,
don't...
That's not a stare decisis from the Supreme Court. Is it an unconstitutional law? Is no law, and it creates no office in the first place.
But that has been held up by the Constitution already.
Or by the Fourth Amendment means.
For anybody listening who's not quite aware of what the forfeiture the forfeiture, asset forfeiture, that's the word. So basically, and this happened to my son a few years ago. You're driving along, police pull you over for an infraction, they smell pot in your car. So they find out you've got $1,000 of cash on you. They jump to the conclusion that you're a dealer, right? They take the $1,000 as evidence or as a forfeiture. You go to court, you beat the rep, you're not a dealer, the money wasn't drug-related, you've got receipts, it doesn't matter. You have to sue the police department to get your $1,000 back because it's civil, it's not criminal. And that's a personal thing.
Right, and I will say again, I don't agree with it either. But if you want it to where it's not an issue, you have Congress take care of the law and rewrite it to where that is not an issue. That is not.
Or you get a lawyer and you
Jeff
take
Sessions
it to court
job is
and
not,
beat it.
Jeff Sessions' job is not to, at now, his job is not as that of a legislator, but as an attorney general. If you want to change the laws that he's governed underneath, change the laws. And I say we need to change that law.
Yeah.
And we should have, it should never have been an issue.
And we need a Supreme Court that will, interpret law correctly and find that unconstitutional when it comes before them.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, anything else?
Well, yeah, I mean, civil asset forfeiture was dropped on the federal level, and he wants to reinstitute it for some reason. I mean, it was gone as far as I could tell from the information I've gotten. Obama got rid of it.
It's not so much.
Was still doing it, but
you see, the thing is Obama could not get rid of that. To get rid of that would have required an act of Congress that would have taken legislation from Congress to remove something that Congress had already put on.
Well, I'm
in other words,
ignorance.
It's still there. So what's happening here is Jeff Sessions is saying, "I don't care what Obama said it was not or is going to be enforced. I'm going to enforce it all, and I'm going to bring back everything that he blanketly got rid of." And told the past AGs not to enforce.
Yeah,
I'm
but
enforce
what
it.
About Fast and Furious? What about the IRS scandal? What about Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch on the tarmac? What about the Uranium One deal? You know,
right.
He's grabbing low-hanging fruit, like going after states that have legalized marijuana, going after people who smoke marijuana for medical purposes.
Tom, if you want to get rid
horrible.
Of the asset forfeiture law, here's what you do. You first of all, you question anyone who's running for Senate and for Congress on this and how they stand on it and put their feet to the fire, get them to make a commitment of changing it. Get Congress, both houses, to change the law.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have a letter of the law, an AG, who's going to sit there and say, I'm not going to, sure, it's low-hanging fruit. It's all low-hanging fruit because it's all in writing. You want to change it, get the right people to change it. You just don't enforce it.
The Supreme Law is in Article 6 of the Constitution, and it is the Constitution itself. I mean, I don't know
Tom?
How it could be any more simple, and I'm getting to the point where I don't even want to vote. I mean, if this is the game that I have to play, it's not right.
The thing is there's a lot of things, such as, you know, like the 14th really does this thing with fair and equal treatment of all that ends up taking away states' rights completely. There's a lot of interpretations of the Constitution that gets us into a whole mess of issues. You might say it's unconstitutional, but what does the Supreme Court say on it? And what have they said on it?
Well, this is something you need to call in about the next time that we have Bob Young on board, that's for sure.
Yep.
Next time we're interviewing Bob, let's see where he stands on that.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And while we're talking about that, we need to also talk about Burroughs Roadhouse, the place you need to visit to have dinner, to enjoy a good evening, see a comedy gig, hear
band.
Good music, band. Yes, sir. That's Burroughs Roadhouse, and you can call them at 810-227-6000, www.burroughs-roadhouse.com.
You know, they got great food there. Great steaks, right? Everything else. But I'm a burger man. People think, oh, you'd rather have a burger than a steak? Yeah, I'm one of those kind of people. Get their burgers, man. They're wonderful.
Oh, I'm going to have to do that then. It's a drive for me, but it's a destination restaurant, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It's worth going to. You know, this a lot of people, and this is where, like, people talk about the states being able to do their own religious freedom laws and everything else. There's parts of it, the fair and equal treatments, that actually pull away from states' rights. And a lot of people, they'll read the Constitution, and it should be simple to read. We're talking about having Justice Young in there writing simple laws that you can sit there and read it. I mean, how easy is it to understand any of the Bill of Rights when you read it?
I'm sorry, think about this now.
Right.
It's Congress.
Right.
You start a law out, and it looks nothing
like you intended it to by the time it's done. Asset forfeiture has not been thrown out by the Supreme Court, which means that you can't just sit there and say it's unconstitutional. It may be unconstitutional in your view, but what does the Supreme Court say about
it? I'm wondering what the Michigan State Supreme Court, if it's appeared before that court yet. I haven't looked at that.
So here's what I'm saying. If you don't like a law, instead of asking the judges to and the AGs to read it differently, get the law changed so there is no more confusion.
Yep. But then
I'm not for asset forfeiture, and I don't want to even make it sound like I am.
Right.
I'm not. I'm saying we have to get the law changed. Yes.
It's the rule of law. And that's where I'm saying, you know, well, part of that is you actually challenge it in court. That's what the courts are for. You challenge it. So you got two recourses, right?
Right.
So
that's why we have the court system there.
Yep.
You may not like the outcome, especially Robert Young on there.
But, well, and it's important to buy the right judge. I'm sorry, to vote for the right judges.
Yes.
Well, look, it's time already. I've got 3 hours of preparation just went out the window.
I told you to throw that out the second I sat down, didn't I?
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Hope to talk to you next week. Gary Willings will join us again. You have a great week.